Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back. Gordon here with Olivia.
Hello.
Hey, track isn't over apparently.
It's not.
We did 9 days of it in a row. We got 4 days off. And now we're back at it.
Now we're back at it.
We're in a different studio.
I like it.
We were remote.
Yes.
Now we're not remote. We're in this studio. But this is temporary.
Yeah.
We're in the studio between, we're in between studios.
Yes. How do you feel about the vibe? I was in here earlier this week, so I was like, I'm really feeling it. Shout out to Tyler and Flow Production for it.
Not gonna lie, temporary studio, I like better than the old studio, and I may like temporary studio better than the new studio.
But we don't know what the new studio
is. I have a feeling
you're throwing it out there,
I'm gonna fall in love with this one. And then come November, when we're in the real studio, I'm gonna be like, I kinda just wanna do the podcast.
I just like it. I feel like it's cozy. I love the lights.
We share one mic.
I do miss my own mic, though.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
I like picking it up, and I can't touch it.
Yeah.
So, it's okay. But Diamond League, Zurich, you thought that track was over, but hold up. They had some unfinished business. We had the Diamond League today in Zurich. We have one in China in a couple days.
Yes.
Or Brussels.
No, China first.
China in a couple days this weekend. Then we'll have Brussels a little bit after that, and then Prefontaine, the Diamond League final, in mid-September. We also have a few other
continental tours
live on Flow Track.
Yep.
Cross-country season starts this weekend.
Yes. It's a busy time.
We have cross-country rankings out on our website. I ranked
busy.
The top 255 individuals. I was up late. How late do you think I was up?
I don't want to know.
It was late. It's 2 a.m.
Wait, how long have you been working on it?
Oh, like a month. But I got distracted with Worlds.
Take a week out of that.
Yeah, I got distracted with the sun and the Austin heat. Like, I was, tired from the
heat.
Wait,
you finished it when?
I finished it
today?
No.
Wait.
Wednesday night at, like, 2 a.m.
So, Thursday morning.
Yes. So, today.
Mm-mm. But I was asleep at 2.
Yeah, I was working. So, we'll go over cross-country stuff next week on Monday. We want to talk about Zurich. But before we talk about Zurich, we got to talk about wonderful pistachios.
Because they're absolutely wonderful, Gordon.
What do you have to say about that?
Well, are you looking for a delicious and nutritious snack that is packed with protein, Gordon? Because take a crack into this good source of protein with a tasty, healthy, wonderful pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of wonderful pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It's one of the highest protein nuts out there, but that's not all. Pistachios are also known for their fiber and better for you unsaturated fats, which may help you keep feeling fuller longer. And what's the best part about it? As we're in the midst of this craziness with Diamond League meets, continental tours, cross countries beginning, school starting. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors, sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family, when you're with your friends, in between meetings, all the things as you're dropping the kid off. So make sure you fill up with a healthy and tasty snack. Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can fuel up your day.
Thank you, Wonderful Pistachios. Let's get into it. Let's talk about Zurich. But before We talk about Zurich. There's been some, you know, it's hard for track and field to get into the mainstream sports news, to get on debate shows, ESPN, Fox Sports 1, all that stuff, having notable athletes in other sports talk about it. And Noah Lyles, with just a single quote, found a way to get the attention of the sports media in the broader picture. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a take to Noah Lyles' take, and some people might disagree with it, but before I get into that, let's talk, for people who've been living under a rock, because you shouldn't be, because worlds just happen.
Yeah.
Noah Lyles was talking in the press conference about, you know, he's won 3 world titles. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this was after his 100 title, the 200 title, or the 4x1.
I think it was after the 2, because it felt more recent.
Yeah. But it might have been after the 1, and we just kind of didn't highlight it because track and field is going on. But
okay.
Anyway.
It was recent, within the last week.
In the press conference, he's quoted saying, world champion of what? Question mark. The United States? Calling out the NBA for calling themselves world champions. You could also say this is calling out Major League Baseball because they call it the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL probably is world champion. They might.
They may.
They might. But a lot of American-based team sports use world champion, even yep. though they only take place in Canada and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So Noah Lyles throws out the grenade, and people react.
Yes. Everyone's reacting.
Everyone react.
At this point, yeah.
Drake reacted. Drake said he thought this speech was going to be so hard in the mirror the night before. Now the whole league doesn't rate you. Did Noah Lyles practice his speech in the mirror before? I feel like he did. He definitely did. This was not something he came up with in the moment. This is something he journaled, he wrote down.
He journaled? I wouldn't go that far.
He prepared this. So Drake is kind of has a point there.
I don't know.
Noah Lyles did not say this in the moment. Noah Lyles 100% prepared
this speech. So you felt like during the midst of the 6 rounds he's done, the 100, the 200, the 4x, again, this was within the last week. You feel like he sat there in front of the mirror and, like, practiced this, wrote this down?
Yes.
And was like, this is what I'm going to say in the press conference.
1,000%. Noah Lyles has been telegraphing his whole
image. I don't think Noah Lyles has that kind of time.
He does.
To be sitting there thinking about his speech that he's going to give at the press conference.
He prepares what he wears when he walks out to an invitational track.
That's different.
Do you think he prepares what he's going to do when he's in the starting blocks when the camera's on him? Yes. He prepared.
I feel like he does that in the moment. Like, of course, we see similar things. Like, he's getting the crowd hype. Like, that's just part of who Noah Lyles is. But I don't think he's like, camera's on me. Okay, what am I going to pull out of the hat for my introduction?
He prepared for ripping his jersey off after he won the title last year in the 200.
Are you sure?
Yeah. He was quoted. He asked him if he practiced ripping it off. He's like, oh, well, I'm not sure exactly what he said, but he did admit that he was kind of thinking about doing that if he won. Noah Lyles wants to make sure his image is the right image he wants to pursue in front of the camera, so he thinks about it. There's no shame in that.
Right.
But he definitely was like, what's something I could say that would get headlines? And he 100% said the right thing to get headlines. So, okay, let's keep going.
Okay, so this was said. People were reacting.
Basketball players reacted.
Yes.
Kevin Durant said, somebody help this brother.
I was cracking up when I saw that. I was like, okay, go ahead. Because I know you're going to give your take. Go ahead.
Aaron Gordon, this is a bad take. Aaron Gordon said he could smoke him in a 200.
That, I need you to, yeah.
That should
you
be.
You need to have a full seat. Absolutely not.
There are more things. That's like the most wrong thing you can say about anything. Is saying you would smoke Noah Lyles in the 200. For a non-runner to say they can smoke Noah Lyles in the 200.
Exactly.
I don't even think Arian Knighton can say he can smoke Noah Lyles in a 200.
He hasn't done it yet.
No. So, that's a basketball player thinking they can smoke Noah. That's ignorance.
That's like me saying I can dunk on, like, Kevin Durant or something.
Yeah.
Like, no. I'm not going to go that far. I know my boundaries.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I was about to make fun of myself, but I won't. I'll stay away from that. There's a lot of opportunity there.
So Aaron, I knew where you were going. I was that too.
Aaron Gordon, you need to throw that out. KD, that's more funny. All right, then Sha'Carri got involved.
Yes.
Sha'Carri said, "I'm standing with Noah on this one," which is like, does she stand against Noah on other things?
Maybe. But she's saying, maybe.
When I first read that, I was like, oh, what's the thing that you don't stand with Noah on? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading. I'm definitely reading too much into it. Noah allows the organization have players from different countries, but they compete against different countries. You have to go against the world in order to be world champion. And then Greg Popovich, Spurs coach in 2010, did say that he doesn't think they should call the NBA champions world champions because they don't go outside the borders.
Right.
Now here's, do you want to give your take on this?
No, let's go with your
take. Want me to go first?
Yes.
Gordon first?
Gordon first.
So, first of all, this means absolutely nothing. Who cares what we call it?
Okay.
I don't think, like, whatever. Like, why does it matter? Why do you care what someone calls themselves? Like, let them live their life. Let the NBA players call themselves intergalactic champions for all I care. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Call themselves, do they need to be like North America? You know, they have the, all I know is that whoever wins the NBA and whoever is the NBA MVP is the best basketball player on the planet. There's no basketball player
on the planet?
1,000%. If you're the NBA MVP, you're the best basketball player on the planet. Wait, hold on. Name a basketball player who doesn't play in the NBA who's better than an NBA player.
It's okay, go ahead.
That doesn't exist.
Okay.
It's the best players in the league.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. But all of it goes down to this one take, and fellow podcast colleague in a different company, Barstool, great podcast, part of my take, they reacted to this, and PFT had a great take. Let's run it. This is my real reaction.
Right. So good point. Yeah, this is the dumbest debate ever, especially when you consider all the best players in the world playing the NBA.
This is track and field being like, please like my sport.
Yeah, and then you think about some of those Spurs teams.
Right there. Remember
the Spurs, when they won, maybe they're
okay, like... Yeah, that's it. This is track and field being like, please like my sport. Track and field has this problem. They constantly have this loser energy where they say, ooh, please like us. We are cool too. We're fast. We're faster than Tyreek Hill. Oh, we are more of a world champion than Kevin Durant or Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
It's all loser energy. Stop trying to beg for the attention of the NBA fan base, the NFL fan base. Fucking glorify. Oh, I didn't mean to curse there. Embrace the attention.
Very passionate about embrace this topic.
Embrace the attention that track and field fans give you. No one. This is not a problem. No track and field fan is saying like, I love track and field so much, and it would be so much better if just the NBA would cut the word world champion from their name. Like, no one cares about that. You can like basketball. You can like track. It's all the stupid thing. It's definitely a please. It's a pick me. It's a like me. It's give me attention moment.
I don't know how I feel about that.
If Noah Lyles wants attention, he should call out his competition, not the NBA players. If Noah Lyles wants attention, he's just continuing to run fast, and he's doing that. That's the good. But talking about the NBA does nothing for track and field. No one is all of a sudden like, I'm a track fan now.
Let me ask you this question: are you a diehard? Like, do you follow the NBA?
Yes.
So this is where I'm like, okay, I'm not necessarily an NBA like fan. Like, I'm not going to sit if it was on TV, cool. But I'm not going to like schedule my life around the NBA.
Yeah.
So I feel like...
The listeners know I have a problem with the NBA, with my Sixers addiction. But anyway, continue.
So I feel like you're very passionate about this because you see both sides of it, right? Like, you are in the NBA. You breathe the NBA, probably.
I'm in the NBA, yeah.
Yes. You breathe it, right?
Training camp starts in a couple weeks.
So, see? Your girl did not know that. But here's my thoughts. I feel like Noah was trying to make a point that he can truly, genuinely say he is a world champion. He competes against people from all over the world at the biggest stage. Nobody else is helping him. Cool. Here are my takes on this. And I had someone actually approach me about this, and they were like, well, they thought it's safe to say that NBA could be considered world champions. They were like, there are people from international countries competing on a team. I'm like, cool. Are they all from the same country? That was my question. They're like, no. So I'm like, how can you define and say that you are a world champion?
What you're I'm giving you the floor. I'm choosing not to interrupt for a reason. I'm choosing not to interrupt.
I'm like, that is, no, you're not a world champion. You're not.
Since
you're an NBA, you're part of the NBA. Awesome. I don't think it's considered being a world champion until we get to, like, Gordon.
Look at the eyes. I'm waiting.
I'm going to say what Sha'Carri said. I'm staying with Noah on this one.
What does it matter that a entirely different sport uses terminology have anything to do with Noah Lyles?
I guess it doesn't.
Does the Denver Nuggets winning the title? But what? Why? What's the reason
because
for making
the point? Because he's just comparing that. He's
why?
Like, I'm an actual world champion.
Were people saying he wasn't?
No, I don't know. Did
someone at press conference like,
I don't know what's in his DM. Somebody
saying,
could have said, you're definitely not a world champion.
Yeah, no one said
know.
That. No one said that.
I don't know.
He's making up argument that no one was arguing. No one
maybe
was ever saying Noah
Lyles
is not a world champion.
Who says he was trying to start an argument? I think he was just saying,
you want me
I'm
to get
a world champion. And now, look at us now. We're all having conversation about it.
Okay. You know what I'm going to say? If he calls himself an Olympic champion, I'll be like, you can't say that.
Why?
You're not an Olympic champion. You're a world champion. Because it's the rules of... Like, why do we call Olympic champions not world champions?
Because it's a different...
It's the exact same thing. It's three athletes from every...
Technically, yeah. Yes. But, like, it's the way...
Why don't we, like, differentiate... Isn't it stupid that we differentiate...
The Olympics is every 4 years.
It's the Olympics. It's still a world championship. Why don't we call the Olympics a world championship?
You're right, but it's
it doesn't matter. Who cares? That's my whole point.
It's the Olympics.
It's the NBA. It's Worlds. Exactly. No one... No one was saying Noah Lyles was not a world champion, and then he says, I am really sick of me not being known as the world champion. Who was saying that? No one. No one was calling Noah Lyles a fraudulent world champion.
I don't think that's what he was trying to say, though.
He was. He was calling out people that had... Kevin Durant wasn't saying, you're not a world champion. No one was saying that. He throws a brick into a glass house, and then he says, why do you guys have a brick in your house? Maybe that's not the right analogy. But it just makes no sense. He was picking
Maybe
a fight for
fight
no reason.
Was for no reason, correct.
He should pick
but
fights.
But just making a statement.
He should pick fights. But that statement is loser energy. That statement is, oh, give us attention. NBA fans and NBA Twitter and NBA media punditry, please talk about us.
I don't think it... I don't think
that's what it
was. I don't think that's where it was going.
1,000% that's where
no.
it was going. It was a talk
was,
about me
I don't
statement.
Think he was trying to be like... How can I fix... I don't think he's sitting there...
He
1,000% like,
was doing
and
that.
And was like, how can I get track and field to be like... Like, on everyone's mind right now.
That's exactly what he was
no,
doing.
I don't think so. I don't think so. No.
It was 1,000% what he was doing.
No.
I'm willing to bet the $1,600 that I lost this past week and
no,
double down
we
on that.
No, cannot go there anymore.
That Noah Lyles was saying.
I'm trying to save your pockets right now. Absolutely right. Trying to save your pockets.
So you are on the Noah Lyles...
I am.
...idealistic... world. I'm realist, and I just think it was all for show, and a show that no one wanted to watch.
But it has you talking, though.
Has me talking. But yeah. I'm trying to talk about how this is just track and field saying, please like our sport. And I don't like when we do it. Why do we pick fights with, like, in order to grow track and field, you don't do track versus NBA or track versus NFL. You do track versus track. You get Fred Curley, Lamont Jacobs, Coleman, Bromell, all these, and Noah Lyles saying they're all better than each other. You don't see Kevin Durant being like, Patrick Mahomes, he's not that great of a football player. He doesn't have good hand-eye coordination like I do because I can hit 10 threes, whereas Patrick Mahomes can only throw a football.
Hmm.
Do you ever see Kevin Durant? Or do you see NBA players call out NFL players? Or vice versa? Or baseball players call out NFL players?
Again,
no. The only sport that calls out other sports is track. Maybe track is
a
the problem.
A lot of people are saying, like, football players all the time say, let me race you. I can beat you in a 40. They say it all the time.
No, they only say it when they're called out.
I can't even tell you how many times I've been, like, at A&M. Like,
they only say it when they're called out.
Nope, I'm minding my business. And they're like, Liv, let's go race. 40 yard. But I can get you. It happens all the time, Gordon. Happens all the time.
Tyreek Hill only called out.
All the time.
Called out Tyreek Hill.
Happens all the time.
Well, track Twitter calls out Tyreek.
Happens all the time.
All right. Let's talk about Noah Lyle. He's actually running.
What did he do this afternoon?
20 minutes of this podcast. Noah Lyles runs a 200, and I think this is going to be the overarching theme of Zurich, which we'll get into maybe later. But, I mean, there's no way Noah's going to lose this race. He's the fastest man in the world. He's won 3 gold medals. He wins 1980 to Area Knighton's 1987. Zarnell Hughes beats out Ben Narek for third. What do we take away from this race? That apparently if you redo a race that happened 4 days ago, most likely the same thing's going to happen.
Most likely, yeah. That's what we saw in this 200. Can't say for all the other events that happened, but like specifically...
In a sprinting event, if you were... How much of your fitness changed in 4 days? You'd have to eat a lot of junk food and do a lot of really bad things to your body for you to not just be in the same shape 4 days later.
Exactly. Yes.
So, Noah Lyles...
Nothing that surprised me about this race.
Even if Knighton beat Lyles, it still would be like, yeah, well, Lyles is celebrating, just won 3 titles.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like this race. It's like, win or lose for Lyles, you're still going to say Lyles is the best. Right?
Maybe, yeah. Yes.
I mean, unless if Knighton ran like 19.4, then maybe, but...
Knighton, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but they're pretty much... This race, pretty even. But Noah Lyles, obviously, with the win here.
And then same thing going into the women's 100, Sha'Carri Richardson. The field, sure, has Elaine Thompson-Herah, but Elaine Thompson-Herah is not Olympic version of Elaine Thompson-Herah.
Right.
She ran a season's best. She's still yet to break 11 seconds in the 100. Gets third to her Jamaican Natasha Morrison, but Sha'Carri is just gonna cruise.
Exactly.
I was hoping that, you know, we would have a Sharika or Shelly Ann or Julian Alfred in this race.
Yeah.
But when you look at the star list, you're like, these weren't the people who are gonna give Richardson a chance of losing.
Right.
So 10.88, maintaining. I'm hoping that Sha'Carri keeps her form, though, and, like, you know, trains hard through these next 2 weeks, and that her at pre,
yes,
she puts something special. And if she does it at pre,
then that's the, like, ribbon.
And that's the full circle.
Yeah.
Because remember last year, or 2 years ago, when she got unjustly kicked out of the Olympics because of marijuana, she got, like, dead last in that pre-Fontaine 100 against Jamaicans and all the other athletes. And then now this is her chance to go back to kind of that, you could argue, the lowest moment of her career.
Right.
And not only have the gold medal, but then have like that victory on that track that became like a meme and all that stuff. So
exactly.
I look forward to seeing Sha'Carri in the next couple weeks. Hopefully she runs a pre. Any other thoughts?
No, just...
It is what it is.
It is what it is right now, yeah.
Zurich Diamond League, it is what it is. It's going to be the theme. Sharika Jackson won the 200, 21.8. Again, no competition. Second place.
Yeah, that was the easiest 21.8 I've ever seen.
Sharika Jackson literally is just like, okay, wait, you want me to race these people? I mean, I know they're good, but you saw what I just did. I ran 21.4.
Right.
You guys know, like, why are we doing this race? For me to show up and wave and run 21.8.
Earn some points. Keep it pushing.
Earn some points. Get that appearance fee. Get a little bit of that prize money.
Yeah.
So the 200 on the men's side, women's side 100, women's 200. Normal things happened.
Yes, they did.
But normal things did not happen in some other events.
Correct. What happened in that 400-meter hurdle race? Yes. That was... I think that was quite that was the most interesting race for me, I think.
Yes.
From that and the 1500, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But Warholm, literally just within the last week, gold medalist in Budapest, we'll have to settle for second here because McMaster over here, silver medalist in Budapest, takes the victory in 47:27. And the thing was, he looked the best in this race. He made up the stagger on Warholm within the first 150 meters and then was just on Warholm the whole time because he had him out in front of him and was able to see every single move. And he just just took it out. And Warholm could not respond.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw this race, I think there was a lot of probably regret and, or just mainly regret or disappointment, probably in McMaster, mm-hmm. in Ryde Benjamin, in Allison Dos Santos, because they we could have beaten Warholm at Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Warholm was beatable. That was our moment. I did say,
you did.
You take a shot at the king, you best not miss.
You said that was like a B race for Warholm?
Yeah, B plus, B, yeah. B, like.
Somewhere in there, yeah. That was the opportunity.
If you're going to live in an era where your prime overlaps with Carson Warholm's prime, and you're going to look back at the 2023 World Championships and be like, that was my only shot I had to break up his dominance.
Yeah.
You knew he was going to lose last year because he was hurt, but this year, this would have been a legit win to beat him, and I got to think McMaster's like, wait a minute. Why couldn't I do this a week ago?
Right.
Ryde Benjamin's watching on the sideline be like, what the? What? Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Warholm, I should have beat you.
Yeah.
And it goes to show that, maybe there's a little bit of intimidation, or there's maybe over time, I think maybe the other 400 meter runners, hurdlers, are probably thinking, I don't think Warholm is beatable.
Right.
Now, they would never admit that, because a professional athlete's never going to say, someone is unbeatable.
Right.
But I think the fact that once Warholm is kind of I'm done with it, I just think there's a lot of regret in the top tiers of the McMasters, the Dos Santoses, and the Benjamins, seeing this loss and saying, Warholm is not an A status right now, and he's going to be A status next year because it'll be the Olympics.
Right.
And now the opportunity is gone. The door is closed.
But here we come back. What do you think this does for McMaster's confidence now? Because now that he's actually grabbed the victory here in Zurich, do you think he carries that with him now moving forward? Okay, I beat Warholm. He is...
Yeah, I mean, anytime you beat...
I can beat him, just... what do you think now... What do you think is next?
Let me look up. When's the last time a healthy Carson Warholm has lost? In the 400 hurdles. I'm going to try to see if I can find the last time he's lost a 400 hurdles healthy.
Okay.
I don't think he has lost a 400 hurdles healthy
since... It's hard for me to think of the last time that Warholm hasn't won a race.
So
besides this afternoon.
So 2022 we take out because he was not healthy.
Okay.
2021, he won everything.
Okay.
2020.
Weird year.
He won everything.
2019.
He won everything. 2018 was the last time. So it was...
We're talking almost 5 years.
Yeah. So 2018, September 8th, 2018... was the last time he lost healthy. And then he just lost healthy today. And again, all these top 400 meter hurdlers are like, Worlds was just last week.
Yeah.
We could have beaten healthy.
Just couldn't put it together when it counted at Worlds, you know?
So, I don't know what else to take from it, except that I think this is a lot of we missed our shot from Worlds.
Yeah.
1500, woo! Another similar...
That was exciting. That was an exciting race to watch.
Yes. Yarnagus gets the win, basically passes Josh Kerr on the inside.
Yes.
The final stretch, holds up, beats Kerr at the line, beats him by 0.02. You know, a solid fast race. It wasn't like a 3:34 race. It was 3:30, so pace was honest.
Yeah.
Apparently Josh Kerr was going for the English record.
Yeah.
Because they had the little the line there from Mo Farah's English record.
Right.
But the world champion just got beat by Jarno Gus, who was what, like fifth or sixth?
I think it was fifth.
I mean, Mo Katir, who almost beat Jakob in the 5K, was like dead last. He fell back all the way.
Yep.
Kip Sang was, you know, consistent, staying up there in the front. But seeing Nagus win this, again, you have a little bit of like, ooh, what did Nagus do wrong last week that he wasn't able to be on Jakob's shoulder with Kerr with that 200 to go?
You know, competing at the highest level like that is one of the most difficult things to do. Like, you're at the biggest stage. This is when it really, really counts. So I wonder if, like, the pressure got to him. Because when you watch the 1,500-meter race, like, Nagus was, like, in the middle top half of this pack. Like, he wasn't up in the front with Josh Kerr, who's, like, striving for Mo Farah's record. All of a sudden, you just see him kind of picking up the people as the laps are, you know, unwinding, and then that last lap, he just kind of, like, left it out there and was able to push past, like, the last couple meters. So, I don't know if maybe the pressure got to him at the World Championships last week, and, like, this is just like, okay, Diamond League meet. Just gotta put it all together here. That could have been it. Also, cooler temps, too. It's, like, 60 there today. It was, like, high of 68. It's in the evening, so cooler weather. Maybe he felt more comfortable. Less pressure.
There's zero pressure.
Yeah.
Absolutely zero. The amount of just pressure left of a Worlds versus the first Diamond League after Worlds.
Exactly.
That's night and day.
Exactly.
It's like releasing the pressure that happened in that submarine when it went down.
Oh.
And it's like, there's all that pressure and then gone. We instantly saw just, boom. Not to bring up a tragedy, but, you know.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Oh, we do actually have a super chat. We have him again. This is one of our first super chats. King Naldo just donated $10 to the chat.
Oh, awesome.
So it's about Noah Lyles in the NBA. The chat is going off. A lot of them are on your side, unfortunately.
Thank you.
For the ones that are on my side, I respect. Says American exceptionalism is a fungal viral infection that makes the world sick. Anyone who sports the logic that NBA Finals is the equivalent to a world championship lacks common sense. Yes, there is a little bit of...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We're reopening.
For the record, I'm not defending that NBA champions should be called world champions.
What?
I'm not defending that. What I'm defending is that do you care? It's about caring about it. Why do we care?
I think logistically in my brain, it just like does not make sense.
Why?
It doesn't make sense.
It also doesn't make sense that the
world champion when you're competing against.
There's a lot of things in life that don't make
teams
sense.
Teams in the U.S. and Canada.
Why does the D in Disney look like a G? I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Probably the signature.
Yeah, but like, why does it look more obvious? There's all things that don't make sense. Who cares? But yeah, I mean, it definitely is. The reason why the NBA calls themselves world champions, I think, is because, I don't know if it's American exceptionalism. I think it's more centered around, we believe we are the best. And so when you crown someone, you want to just make it
extra
with
confetti,
you know,
and balloons.
When we had the beer mile, we called it the world championship.
Oh goodness.
It was in America. There was probably some Frenchman who didn't show up who like is a faster beer miler, but we didn't have the world title. It's when you are doing things, it's funny to call yourself world champ. I think we should start doing, let's call each other, like, why is it just the world? Why does Noah Lyles call himself like the Milky Way champion?
Best in the Milky Way?
Or like human champion, all humans. I don't know.
Something to think about.
Something to think about.
Moving forward.
All right, let's keep going.
Okay, are we done with Nagus?
Yeah, I do think it shows Nagus is...
He's there.
He's there.
He's there.
I mean,
just got to put it together.
I think he was. I mean, he was the second favorite going into the final.
Yeah.
And it was kind of weird for him not to medal. I think a lot of people had him medaling. I was certainly surprised he didn't medal.
Yeah.
So Nagus, he's going to be. I think he's going to learn from. Hey, okay, I could just beat Josh Kerr. I closed on him. Got fifth at Worlds. Let's put that together. And then at the Olympics, I get my medal.
Yes.
So.
I'm rooting for that. We'll cheering for that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I did think it was funny. So on the results, so this is in Zurich, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a Switzerland version, a Swiss version.
Yeah.
And an American version.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You can translate it.
Oh, did not realize that.
So if you click on like a different flag, it changes the name. Some of the athletes' last names get translated to Swiss.
Oh, interesting.
What language do they speak? Swiss a language? Swiss isn't a language. What language do they teach? Do they say in Switzerland? This is me. This is. Hold on. Language in Switzerland. French?
I see French, Italian, German.
Okay. Yeah, Swiss is not a language. That's on
no.
me. But anyway, I think it's.
I was like, I don't think
it's. I think it got translated to French.
Okay.
But I saw, like, an American, Cole Stuhl. The translation of hawker in French is stool. And I was like, Cole Stuhl just ran 3:30-something.
Oh, goodness.
There's a guy named Cole Stuhl who's one of the best 1,500-meter runners in the U.S.
I didn't know you can switch the language. That's good to know.
And I realized, okay, Cole Stuhl translated to Cole Hawker.
Gotcha.
Hawker and Stuhl, those are
good to know.
Translations. So
good to know.
I kind of like Stuhl better. Cole Stuhl?
Cole Hawker.
Cole Stuhl.
Cole Hawker.
All right, Cole Stuhl. Men's 5K.
Can I just say I was really impressed? Like, this was literally 4 days after Worlds.
Who
like,
are you
they ran
by?
The. Like, Ravala, who was in that 5K at Worlds, ran a 5K 4 days ago.
So you're saying they should have been more tired?
Yes.
I don't think so. We saw Safana San. Run a 10K.
Safana-san's on a 15, whole other level.
Yeah.
Safana-san is on a whole different, like, level, spectrum. She does it all.
I think you could.
It's a fact. I can't even imagine running a 5K, hard 5K, in the heat, plus travel.
That makes
all this stuff. And then run another 5K.
And they ran it fast. They ran sub 13. Yes.
That is crazy.
It's not that crazy.
It's crazy.
What it would be crazy.
Maybe from a sprinter's perspective?
Yeah, from a sprinter's perspective.
It's crazy.
They're running. They run. You do know distance runners like run.
Yes,
every day.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's ridiculous.
How do they do that?
That's crazy.
It would be interesting to see how often elite distance runner could run a fast 5K until they break apart. Like, how many back to back sub 13s? Could Kajalka run? Because he just ran 12:46.
Yeah.
I bet you every 4 days he could run sub 13 minutes in a 5K for like a month at least.
Maybe.
I mean, by the end of the month, you'd be like, his career is over. But it would be an interesting thought experiment to see how often, like, how many times could Kipchoge run a 60 minute half marathon?
Oh, gosh. Back to back?
I bet you Kipchoge could run a 60-minute half marathon every week.
Oh my god!
For a year.
Gordon.
I bet you could run
50, no
1,000%. I think you could run a 60-minute half marathon every Sunday for a year.
No. Gordon, a year?
Yeah, 52 times. Once a week. Every Sunday.
What are you doing?
Kipchoge jogs.
Are you training?
If he wants to recover, train. He could run a 60-minute half marathon every Sunday for a year.
No. I would like to know what the chat thinks about that. Like, that's ridiculous.
No, I think that's possible. The guy can run sub 2 hours in a marathon. I'm sure he could do his pace half of that. You run 100-mile weeks. I'm sure you could do it. It's 13 miles. One 13-mile hard effort every week for a year? 1,000%. Again,
I'm thinking in my brain from, like, a sprinter's perspective. If I was to run a 400, a hard 400.
Yeah.
Once a week.
What's your 400 PB?
Well,
In your prime.
I don't. Well, I split 49 one time.
Okay, so let's say 50 splat. Okay.
50.
Could you run a 25-second 200 every week, once a week?
No.
You couldn't run 25-second flat in a 200 on a Sunday. In your prime.
Yes.
And then a week later, do the same thing. 25 seconds.
I just can't imagine doing that for a whole year.
25 seconds. It's only 25 seconds.
I get it.
Like, that's just, like, done.
But, like,
you could run
the
a 20.
Amount of stress that put that you put your body through a 400 and doing that repeatedly, you also have to have, like, strength training for that.
It's also, sprinting's different from distance running.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
sprinting
for me,
is, like, explosive muscles, whereas distance running, it's not. Yes. So your body can more likely fall apart and break because you can easily pull something than.
Okay, let's just say I don't pull anything.
Yeah.
That's still.
I do think it's a difference, though, asking to do a hard sprint once a week than it is to do a long distance run once a week.
But for Kajelka, like, that's in their wheelhouse,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you are right, though. It is kind of impressive that they did run this fast 4 days after Worlds.
Yes.
Kajelka runs 12:46, Borrega 12:54. Wasn't that much of an interesting race competitive-wise.
Right.
Grijalva still finishes fourth again. Guys, the king of fourth place.
I was cheering so hard.
King of fourth place, Grijalva. And then Grant Fisher, I think, is the big story here.
Yeah.
Obviously dealing with injury to his femur. Doesn't make the Worlds team. And he, instead of reacting to not making the Worlds team, where the way I would react is be like, all right, season's over. Time to just chill out.
Oh, no. There's money out there to chase, Gordon.
He stayed motivated and stayed fit and ran 12:54.
Yeah.
Which goes to show that making the men's 5K team is now slowly becoming one of the harder teams to make. If someone of Grant Fisher, who can run 12:54 and get third in this Diamond League race, beat Grijalva, who got fourth at Worlds, is the guy who's not even on your team. That shows how good the men's 5K has gotten on the U.S. side. And I'm sure it's going to make who makes the Olympic team even more interesting.
Right.
If Fish, you have to think like a perfectly healthy Fisher, you should put in the top three. So then you think, who do you take out? Avdi Hamidi, you're not taking out. He won. I guess you would say, oh, you take Chelimo out because he's on the older side. But Chelimo's a gamer. And then you also think about Cooper Tier's going to be better. And it's just like, what are you going to do? Makes it hard.
It does.
All right, let's rapid fire the rest of these results. Atolio Gul wasn't able to hold on to the pace with Laura Muir. Laura Muir, 1,500 meter runner.
Just
wins in 1:57.
Yep.
Seeing Aikens get fourth and Rogers get sixth, I thought they would finish a little bit higher because they're going against mainly 1,500 meter runners. But hey, it's 800. Anything can happen. Women's steeple.
Same thing.
It was interesting. It's Worlds. A little closer finish, but I didn't really get much from it. Danielle Williams wins the 100 hurdles. And I think, interestingly, on the women's pole vault, which happened yesterday.
That was really interesting. Yeah.
Nina Kennedy got a lifetime best PRing and now owns the world lead, 491.
World lead, area record, meet record, personal best, all the records Nina Kennedy got yesterday.
All right.
As Mondo we also attempted the world record, missed, and I was really upset, but it's okay.
He's going to miss the world record a lot. You got to get used to that.
I know.
I mean,
it happens. Like, I just feel like Mondo just kept dropping world record breaking jumps, and then now I'm like, another world record.
What could Mondo do that's not chasing a world record that'll be interesting or more fun or like a different type of fun?
I feel like he would have to do a completely different event.
Like run 100?
Yes. Like, how fast can Mondo Duplantis run 100?
Can Mondo train to break 10 seconds in 100?
I feel like he could.
Mondo cannot break 10 seconds in 100.
Wait. Maybe, like...
I think he could get up to, like, 10-2.
I was thinking 10-3.
10-2, 10-3.
That came into my head.
If he could train, though... Maybe during an off year, he should be like, I'm not doing...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that would be so interesting.
Take a break from the pole vault and just do the 100 for a year. The year of the 100.
Okay, he went 10...
He went 10-5.
10-6. 10.57. Oh, wind dated. 10.69, but no wind indication back in 2018.
Well, the wind is 2.1 wind, so there's basically no wind. So 10.5. No. 2.1 is very similar to 2.0.
No, as a for me, no. Wind dated.
Hold on.
We're not going to even go there. So probably 2.1
and 2.0. Do you know the difference between that?
Probably about 10.6. Without wind. Well,
he's a 10.5 guy.
Okay, fine. And that was back in 2018, so just imagine how fast
he is high school.
Now.
He did that in high school.
Right.
So you can
run. That was the last time he's done it.
10.2.
So for me to be, I don't know. I think, yeah, I would want to see 100 from Mondo.
I also think maybe he could do a thing where he tries to, like, do, like, pole vault tricks.
Oh, no. See, now, no.
Like, dunking, like, you know, some backflip stuff. No?
Nope.
Why not?
It makes me nervous with the pole vault.
True, it is not safe.
It makes me very nervous. And now you're adding tricks?
I do want to see him try to win a Diamond League in one attempt.
That'd be interesting.
So, like, he just waits for everyone to get, knock themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just does one attempt.
I would, yes. See, that'd be interesting.
So he, like, everyone's out at 588. He goes, all right, I'll pass 588 as well. I'll do 590. One attempt, go home, eat a cheeseburger, call it a day.
Okay. I think you should let Mondo know.
Win a Diamond League in one attempt, I think, should be on his bucket list.
Same. Let's do that.
I'd rather see that than a world record. What's the difference between 623 and 622? It's like, okay, all right, cool. We know you're the GOAT.
But how high can the GOAT go?
He's making world records boring. Let's be honest.
No, I'm still intrigued.
You are intrigued.
I was like glued to my computer when they're like, okay, he's going for the world record attempt that he tried to accomplish in Budapest. I was like, okay, hang on, guys, pause. I mean, not write this article at this very second. Mondo's on the runway.
But is there really a difference to seeing a 622 and a 621 and a 620 and a 619? No.
Yes.
It's not that. It's a centimeter.
Hey, it's a new world record.
I think world records are more interesting.
Like saying, that's like saying 1919, 1918.
No. But the problem is it's different.
How's it different?
Because we're not seeing Noah Lyles run 1931, then 1930, then 1920. Like,
okay, Noah Lyles goes 1918, then 1917.
Sprinting doesn't have world records happen over and over again the way field events do.
That's very true.
And, like, pole vault's in a weird situation where typically world records you should only be able to do, like, once or twice in your career. Whereas in the pole vault, he does it once or twice in a weekend. So it loses a little bit of its pizzazz because it's like,
hey, it's just Mondo. And when the GOAT is out there, I want to see it.
Like, if Usain Bolt, if the men's 100 had the same type of uniqueness the way the men's pole vault does, and Bolt was like a Mondo, Bolt would have, like, a very different career. Bolt would have, like, 12 9.5s. Well, he has 1.95. You know, it's just because, and then we look at it different. Like, world records just don't grow on trees in track events the way they do.
You're very, very right about that.
Anyway. See, I'm right on some things, including the Noah Lyles thing.
I agree. Not on Noah Lyles things. I agree on your statement. It is difficult. Those track times are ridiculous.
All right, let's see if the chat's saying. The chat have anything? Probably all against me.
I just want to know what they thought about running a half marathon every weekend for a year. That's right. No.
I don't think anyone has mentioned that.
Okay. Well, I'm curious.
See, the thing about our chat is I don't look at it often enough, and then they just decide to have a conversation about nothing that we're talking about. So the entire time we were talking about Kipchoge running a half marathon at 60 minutes for a year.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about Allison Felix and Gabby Thomas and what they were at the age 27.
Okay.
But, like, Gabby Thomas wasn't even at this meet. And, like, that's what's on their mind. I love our chat. Our chat's awesome. All right. Like and subscribe. Olivia, thanks for listening. Hope you guys like our temporary studio. We'll be here till November. Then new studio, November. Tyler, thanks for producing, as always.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to do this pod yesterday. I asked Tyler to move it to today, and he let me.
Thank you, Tyler.
Tyler, you are amazing. We'll be back to our typical Mondays, 12:30 Central. Moving forward, talk about some cross country, talk about more track. Is anyone interested in running in China? I haven't looked at Starless.
We haven't begun to go that far.
We'll talk about it on Monday. Thanks for tuning in, and let's get into it. End of the season and the start of cross.
Yes.
Can't wait. All right. Like and subscribe. Thanks. Bye.